Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And I must say, I enjoy when Desiree Cifuentes is here. And I need that. I need a little reframing. After the last hour, Desiree Cifuentes is the creator and host of Uncatechized Catholic. And if you're uncatechized, she can help you fix that. It's a ministry dedicated to helping Catholics move beyond simply knowing the faith to actually living it. And we're going to talk with Desiree today about what happens when the faith begins to falter, when you might, and I think this is probably a common experience. I don't think it's at all rare. So what happens when you start to lose the faith? Desiree Cifuentes, welcome.
Hello, Cy. It's good to be back.
I'm glad. So,
let's bring the temperature down a little bit and just get a little more, maybe a little more emotional. A little bit more heart, a little bit less head.
See, that's I like when you're here, Desiree, because you have that quality. So let me just ask you straight out, what do you do? What would be the advice you might give someone who said to you, my faith is faltering, my faith is wavering?
Mm-hmm. So I would first of all say that that is far, far, far from a unique or rare experience. I think most people, if not everyone, experience at least the temptation to question their faith every once in a while. And I also think it's good to question your faith every once in a while, because if you don't question your faith ever, your faith is probably a little bit blind. And then how do you know if you're in the right faith?
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Right.
But I find when there are Catholics who come to doubt their faith, it's hyper-specifically, I'm sure it's very unique to everybody, but overall, there tends to be one of three things happening. So okay. One, they're neglecting the practice of their faith. Two, they're having an intellectual doubt with their faith. Or three, they're having something like a dark night of the soul. And each of those has their own solutions. So if what you're dealing with is you're not practicing your faith, so you're somebody who's like, yeah, you know, I grew up Catholic, or I've been, and I'm just not feeling it lately. It's like, okay, well, you know, are you praying every day? Are you spending time in the scriptures every day? Are you going to adoration, frequently receiving the sacraments, making sure you always go to mass on Sundays and days of holy obligations and so on and so on? And you're like, oh, well, no. It's like, okay, well, your relationship with God is going to be a bit like your relationship with your spouse, who may be your current spouse or your future one. But if you're neglecting that relationship, you're not going to feel particularly close. So the remedy to when you're not super practicing is, I hesitate to say fake it till you make it, but maybe a little bit of fake it till you make it. You know, act like you're not having this crisis of faith and start practicing things and knocking and seeking, and eventually you will find what you're looking for. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew, that's exactly how that works. And it's not different just because you're already a Catholic at this point. Or going to the second one, if your doubt is more intellectual, I would say that there is twofold. So one, push back on every teaching and then see how things hold up. That's what I did. And I'm still here. So, you know, everything's
did you really,
holding up.
Desiree, you pushed. You're like, that's it. I've got doubts. I'm going to push.
I told you that I was Mormon for a minute, right?
Oh, did you tell me that? If you did, I forgot it. I may have blocked that out.
I don't know. But I was. And then I had this very profound encounter with the Holy Spirit that told me the Catholic Church was the one true church. But in terms of faith and reason, I knew that this encounter that I had with the Holy Spirit was a faithful encounter. And that if somebody said, well, why are you Catholic? And I was like, well, one time the Holy Spirit, that's convicting for me. That's not convicting for anyone else. Right. So I said, okay, need to also know the reason behind why I'm Catholic. And so I'm going to push back on every single Catholic teaching. And if it holds up, then I know that this is the right church. And if it doesn't, then maybe God is just leading me here on the way to something else. And I'm still here, everyone. So I have a degree in everything. I've really pushed back on this stuff. Yeah. I really believe the church is the one true church. So push back on these things. But the other thing too, and this is the more difficult, more humble admission, is to take a really, really thorough and honest self-inventory and see, like, be honest with yourself about your ability to grasp certain things. So all of us are going to have some sort of inability to grasp things. Like, the Trinity is a mystery for everyone, right? I mean, we can really try our best to explain it, but at the end of the day, three is one is never going to make mathematical sense. There's some element of faith that has to come there. But also, just because something is, you could say, part of the church in some way, shape, or form, it doesn't mean that it's going to resonate with you. And it doesn't mean that just because you read it, you're going to immediately and readily understand it, especially if you're coming from an uncatechized background. A lot of times you'll run into teachings and things that you're like, I just can't make heads or tails of this. But not being able to make heads or tails of it, one, doesn't mean it's wrong, and two, doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that maybe it's not for you, maybe you're not there yet. And if you're honest about where you are at in your faith journey, the good news is that there's so many resources now. There's like a glut of them. Catholic Answers is obviously one of them, that you can start to build up your own understanding and intellectualizing of the faith, as long as you never, ever forget that heart, because love first, always. But you can build yourself up catechetically into somebody who can grasp an awful lot of stuff, and then you can ascend higher and higher, and you can return to those things. You know, for me, again, in my walk, one of the first things I did was listen to Pints with Aquinas when it was a brand new show, and Matt was talking about what St. Thomas wrote in the Summa, and every time he'd read the passage that he was talking about, and I was like, thank God Matt is here to tell me what this means, because I sure don't know at all.
Right.
But I, you know, you get there. Eventually you get there. Right. And so the last thing is that I called it like the dark night of the soul. It's like when you don't really have an intellectual issue and you are practicing, but you still feel somewhat empty. And this is something I have experienced as well. It's not that God isn't close to us, and it's not that our faith has somehow gone away. But I always say that it's easy to be faithful or to be a good person or whatever when times are easy, and it's hard to be faithful or be a good person or whatever when times are hard. And by that I mean is when the Holy Spirit is tangibly indwelling, and, you know, prayer is like breathing and just everything, it's immediate, you know, it requires almost no effort on your end. Well, then, yeah, it's really easy to be a practicing faithful Catholic. But when that feeling stops, and when you're like, I'm actually really having to reach for prayer right now, and I feel really dry and so on and so on, it's hard. And that can be, I don't want to call it a test from God, but maybe a stop check or something from God, where he's saying, you know, you were able to love me easily when I made it easy to love me, but will you still love me when it's not always easy to love me, when there are trials and sufferings and dry spells and things like that? And many saints have written on the same thing. It's not always going to be this rainbows and butterflies feeling of being a faithful Catholic, but you push through and you stay faithful, and eventually you come out of the other side, and God knows you'll still love him when times are hard. And it's just that patience and that devotion to get there.
Trouble with your own faith faltering, maybe someone else that you would like to help. We're talking about what to do when the faith begins to falter. 888-318-7884 is the number. We really would be happy to take your call. 888-318-7884. Desiree Cifuentes is our guest. Uncatechized Catholic is her ministry. It's primarily, you can find Uncatechized Catholic. You know what? If you just put it into your search bar, you're going to find it. But it'll come up on YouTube, Instagram. Probably Instagram's the numero uno way to access your content. Is that right?
That's right. I'm coming up on YouTube. Starting to put out long form stuff very soon.
What does that mean, coming up on YouTube?
I have scripts sitting
I see. Yeah. I thought your numbers were improved. You got more material coming out. Do not miss Desiree's work. It strikes me on number two how confident you are. And it's funny when you said that Mormon thing, that you were a Mormon for a minute. I'm not sure that all religions are like, you got a question? Push it. Push it to the limit. Ask that question. Because if you ask it sincerely, like if you're not asking it to you know, in a way that, I know that, like, rhetorically, like, I'm going to ask this question that's so hard, it'll prove the faith silly or something. If that's your intention, fine. Anybody could do that. But if you sincerely want an answer, the Catholic Church got an answer for your question.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not something that the church ever discourages you from looking for. I've certainly had the experience of, is that relevant to being faithful? Is that pertinent to your salvation? Is that whatever? And it's like, well, maybe not, but also it would really help me make heads or tails and to understand if this thing makes sense or if I'm doing it for no reason at all or what have you. And so there, it's, again, it's faith and reason. You have to have faith, but when you neglect the reason and you go off of faith, again, I said it in the beginning, like, how do you know you're in the right church? You can't. You need both.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. If you have a question about what to do when you start to lose the faith, Desiree Cifuentes here to help today, 888-318-7884. There does come a point, I think, where you begin to trust, though, that so you don't need every question answered. This is where you go.
Yeah.
Do you have that experience? Like, I sometimes feel like there gets a point where you're like, you asked questions almost obsessively. Well, what about this? Well, what does the church teach about this? Well, why do we do this? And why? And then you start to, at some point, you start to trust and go, you know what? Jesus has this whole thing. He's never let me down. So I'm gonna trust it.
Yeah, I think that's a par for the course situation spiritually, especially for the convert, because you experience everything as an adult in real time, fully consenting to where you're going at all times, where you get drawn in and you're like, okay, well, if this is legitimate, then what about this? What about this? What about this? And I think you have a phase of that until you finally can relax and go, okay, every time it's certain, it's true, it's whatever. And, that's also an element of trust and belief in the things that Jesus has said. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail. There's right. There's tradition, the magisterial authority. And that's also something to return to when something comes up and you go, I don't know about that. And there's plenty of things, like literally just the topic from the last hour, not to spike your blood pressure, but there's plenty of things where the church will say something and maybe you have a moment where you're like, I don't know if that's right, but because I have this whole history of, you know what?
Right.
Every time I tested it, it's come through. And so maybe this is just, again, be super humble. Maybe this is just a limitation on my end. Maybe I don't get it. And in time with prayer, whatever, maybe God will reveal it to me or maybe he won't. But I'm going to give my respectful assent and maybe quietly, respectfully say, I just don't get it. I don't know, but I will assent to the authority of the church and her teachings and things like that.
Amen. I think that's exactly right. And I don't think that there's that's not an intellectual giving up. That's a becoming secure, like maybe like in any relationship that, you know, with your relationship with your spouse, it starts with, I got to find out, is this person the one? But at a certain point you get enough questions answered where you know, one of you does something the other one doesn't like, and you don't have to panic or what you go, I've got enough faith to keep going here. I think the relationship part of it, is kind of, I guess for me, that's the one that makes the most sense, is that it's a relationship, and at a certain point you can relax into that. But if you are facing the, no, I'm not there, it's bothering me, I can't answer this question, or I can't get over the feeling that the faith might not be true, or if you are struggling in your faith, this hour is for you, 888-318-7884.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
Support for Catholic Answers Live comes from Catholic Chemistry, a dating app for Catholics. Founded by a longtime member of the Catholic Answers team, CatholicChemistry.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I think everybody kind of takes for granted, you would know, if you're a doctor, nurse, or you're a family, right, a mother and a father who encourage your child to have an abortion. You see, you're aiding in a great crime.
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Catholic Answers Live, Desiree Cifuentes, our guest, and you are welcome to call. What do you do when your faith begins to waver? If that's you, or if that's someone that you know that you would like help with, 888-318-7884. We will start in New Mexico today. Ryan is in New Mexico watching on YouTube. Ryan, awful glad you're here. You got a question for Desiree?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, and thank you, Desiree, as well. So how do I deal with someone in my family who's left the church? They grew up in the church. They were Catholics, one of my older cousins, but he's now been evangelized, quote-unquote, so he's now a non-denominational fundamentalist. I could tell by the way he always sends scripture through text messages that he has a zeal for God and for his word, but at one time we're talking about the church, and he said, well, I don't need the church. I just need my Bible. How do I deal with that, knowing I can't judge him, but I do know that it's, the church is the fullness. And if you leave the church, if you leave the Most Holy Eucharist, you're really missing out on a lot of grace. So how do I deal with that? I'm not going to remember.
So I would say, first of all, that the Bible itself, scripture itself, tells you that you need more than just the Bible. I mean, it says, hold to these things, whether taught to you by word of mouth or by letter. Well, if it's not written in letter, where are you going to get the word of mouth? So that's the first thought. And also there comes, people say this all the time, so it's probably not new to you, but the Bible didn't fall out of the sky. Somebody compiled the Bible, people came together and decided what was and was not scripture and so on and so on. And the institution that did that was the Catholic Church. So those two things are what we would call it, a strike in favor of the Catholic Church, I guess you could say, a mark in favor of the Catholic Church. But there's also the real reality of objective truth exists. And in order to determine objective truth, it's not enough that we just have really firm faith and our scripture. Because if that were true, then we would not see so many denominations and interdenominational frictions and disagreements and things, because all of us would have true faith and all of us would have the Holy Spirit, and so all of us would come to the same conclusions, but we don't, which tells us that there has to be something outside of scripture and outside of ourself, namely the magisterium, which Jesus, when he said, the keys of the kingdom belong to you, which historically means that he's the second in command, the head of the church on earth, and whatever bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loosened, and things like that. The gates of hell will not prevail. Like, you can see in scripture that what the Catholic Church purports to be and what she purports to be true both exist and are true. And so if your cousin is super into the Bible, that is where I would start. Is I would say, look, this thing that you love and that you know to be true is pointing you toward the church. You don't even need necessarily outside influences to help prove this to be true. I mean, they're out there and they help, but the Bible is enough to point toward the need for a church. And the Bible and history and everything else tells you that church is the Catholic Church.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That really helped me out so much. I'm so grateful to you guys for Catholic Answers.
You gave that some deep thought there, Ryan. I could feel that. I'm glad that was helpful to you. Thank you very much. I'll tell you what, I haven't given out any books today, and I should have. Let me give you a book for your troubles. Thank you very much for the call. Evidence for Christ, How We Know That Jesus is the Messiah, the newest book from Jimmy Akin. If you'd like it, hang on. Darren will get an address from you, and we'll send it to you. Heading to Oklahoma, our old friend John, the John from Oklahoma. Welcome back, John.
Hey there, Si. God bless everybody. Glad to hear you again.
You too. Thank you.
Hi, John. I just wanted to come on. Hey, just want to come on and say Billy's absolutely right. I was just going through this myself. And one of the key pieces of advice that I got when I was going through, the dark night of the soul, one, read The Dark Night of the Soul. It helps so much. Okay. for a better understanding of what you're dealing with and dealing that you're not alone in this. You know, a large majority of the saints also went through this, what you're feeling. But also the key advice was, don't stop what I was doing. Keep doing the rosary, keep prayers, keep going to mass, you know, stay in the word, because if you get out of that, especially at that point in your growth as a Catholic, it's harder to get back into doing that again. And that was one of the key aspects that I got. And it helped so much, along with Catholic Answers and stuff like that. You guys have always been phenomenal and have always been a rock for a lot of us Catholics.
Thank you, John.
And you know, the one thing that I can give to a lot of people, too, though, when you're starting to feel like this, stay away from TikTok. Some of the people on there will not be helpful in any way when it helps with this.
Well, let me ask you this, John, if I may, and then I'm going to let Desiree respond to what you said. But that last one, that stay away from TikTok thing, do you say that because of how bad the stuff in TikTok is, or because it's distracting? And you, because I think a lot of people get caught in that, and it keeps you from doing the things that you should be doing, like just having peace and quiet and reflecting and the things that the faith needs. By keeping you busy. Which thing were you talking about? Which side of it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, because a lot of people who, especially are in the Catholic circle, they start on there with good intentions, you know, but then it, unfortunately, it devolves into ego and people trying to outdo each other. Mm. And it really doesn't go to help your growth. I think more that it hurts people a lot of times, not intentionally, but a lot of times that's where it will devolve into. But yes, also, you need that peace and quiet, especially when it comes to, like, doing the rosary. You know, every time I do the rosary, it always makes me tired. For a long time, I never could figure out why. You know, I'd be great, and then when I go to do the rosary, it's like I'm ready to go sleep for 8 hours. And it's because that rosary puts you in a more peaceful area, puts you in a better mindset, and just saying that rosary puts you in, I believe, in a better connection and a restful state to where you could actually hear God a lot better when he's trying to talk to you.
Desiree,
because in this world, you know, we're constantly go, 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 and all these things coming at us at once, and we can't hear what he's saying.
Desiree, what do you think?
I think the John has a
the
lot
John.
Of wisdom. One, when you can't sleep at night, say the rosary so that you can go to sleep. And you can ask Our Lady to use it, or however much of it that you say, for whatever she wants. You don't even need a special purpose. But also, when he's talking about, you know, when you have a faith and you're struggling with that faith, but you just shouldn't stop, it reminded me of the wisdom of Journey, who said, don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. And we'll stop right there so that we don't get any kind of copyright strike. But you can find wisdom.
Trying to get us thrown off of YouTube? Knock it off, Desiree.
It's in my head now.
John, I'm going to say thanks. There's just two lines open. If you'd like to talk to Desiree about this very problem of maintaining the faith in a world that is very hard on the faith, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Kevin's in Grand Isle, Nebraska. We're glad you're here, Kevin. Go ahead with your question for Desiree.
Hey, thanks. I guess my question was, I was hearing that, you know, you went to the Mormon church, or at least you were Mormon for a little bit. And I guess I'm experiencing, I wouldn't say driving off from the Catholic church, but more or less going dry with my faith. And I heard that you had the whole, you know, encounter with the Holy Spirit. And that's also another reason why I stayed in the Catholic church, because I did ask the Lord, you know, like, where do you want me to go? Because wherever you go, I will go. But I feel super dry, and I know that you guys are talking about dark night soul, and so I just wanted to see if you had any saints, and I guess to speak more about, you know, how the Holy Spirit came to you.
Yeah, so first of all, I think it's very admirable. You have the proper disposition of heart to say, wherever you go, I will go, and that's honestly more than half the battle. The rest is just patience and being willing to do things on God's timeline and not just on yours, and to trust that he has a purpose and a reason to have you where you are, and to not be maybe immediately so giving with the juices of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, you sit with this dryness for a while and let it do something for you. I also know that when you're in a period of spiritual dryness, it's a form of suffering, and suffering is like self growth on speed. You know, it's kind of like, I liken it to getting a degree or going to therapy. It's like, do you have to go to college to get this knowledge, or do you have to go to therapy in order to learn more about yourself and your childhood wounds or what have you? No, but if you do, because it's so structured and oriented and there's somebody above you who's helping you, you're going to do it a lot faster. And suffering is the natural teacher. You get a lot of wisdom and a lot of lived experience in these times where you're suffering. So when you're suffering spiritually, there's a good chance that God is inviting you to grow and to use the suffering to make yourself better. And frequent reception of the sacrament.
Hang on. If you want to hang on, we can continue with the conversation on the other side. But I got to take this break. You can, once that music starts, I can't do anything about it. So, Kevin, if you want to hang on and follow up what Desiree said, we'll do that right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Why do we baptize? Does it really do anything? In Baptism Now Saves You, Dr. Carla Broussard explains the unbreakable relationship between baptism and salvation, making sense of the church's teaching in a way that's easy to understand and ready to share. St. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Discover what that means today. Order your copy of Baptism Now Saves You at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
The world has a lot of questions about Catholicism. It's a big faith, and it deserves a big book of answers. Well, now it has two. Get the Big Book of Catholic Answers, Volume 2, and have 300 clear, reliable Catholic answers right at your fingertips whenever something comes up at work, with friends, or around the dinner table. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers, Volume 2, at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
From the dawn of creation, angels have stood in the presence of God as messengers, warriors, and guardians. Some seek our fall. Some intercede for our salvation, and one is assigned to protect you. In the new book, Angelic Answers, Father Mike Driscoll uncovers the truth about angels and their unseen battles. So mysterious to us, and yet so close. Get Angelic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Who was Jesus? It's the most important question in the world. Was he a great teacher? A religious myth? The Messiah and Lord? In Evidence for Christ, apologist Jimmy Akin builds a powerful step-by-step case from history, scripture, and reason, showing that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy and the risen Lord. Get your copy of Jimmy Akin's Evidence for Christ today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, our guest, Desiree Cifuentes. And our topic, well, what do you do when you start to lose the faith? If you start to feel your faith slipping, you can give us a call, 888-318-7884. Maybe you want to help somebody else. I was going to just check back in with Kevin in Grand Isle, Nebraska. Kevin, you were talking about needing advice on drifting away and coming back. What did you think of what Desiree had to say?
I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the more I was asking, and the more, I wouldn't say more prayers that I'd ask the Lord, but if the Lord is allowing for all of these to happen, I do trust in him. I guess myself and my body is not willing, but like how she said in the beginning, it's not fake it till you make it, but just more or less just do it. You know, I feel like that's a way to grow, and it makes a lot more sense on if I ask for more, then he will give for more, but it's going to be confusing for me, and I just have to trust in him. So it makes a lot of sense.
I'm glad it could be helpful. Also, just because you're in Nebraska. And I quickly looked up exactly where Grand Island is. It's not that far from Boys Town, Nebraska, which is a fabulously Catholic space and place. So if you have a free weekend and you feel like taking a drive to see some inspirational people and get more in touch with your faith, I would definitely go out there. I love Boys Town, and I'm always trying to go back.
Can I ask you?
I'll definitely check it out.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, Christine Flynn, we've had her on the show, and she wrote a book, and now I'm struggling for the title of it. Darren, maybe you could help me. Christine Flynn's book, because what the two of you were talking about reminded me of something that Christine Flynn became Christian by pretending to be, not really pretending, but just trying it out. She was going to give it, I think, a month. I think she was going to give it 30 days, and she said within 9 or 10 days, she knew she was a Christian. And it's such a great... it's such a great story and such a great book, and I think we have it. I think we can give it to you. But Darren, do you remember the name of Christine Flynn's? Oh, you wrote it down for me. Oh, I guess I should read the, not just spiritual. Yeah. So let's send that book to Kevin. I think Christine Flynn's an awesome person. I think you'll really enjoy the book. Just hang on, give us an address, and we will send it to you. And I will say thank you for the call. Okay, Kevin?
Sure. Thank you very much. God bless you guys.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you're struggling with faith, if it comes and goes, or maybe it feels like it might be going, you are welcome to call. Or if it's a neighbor or a friend or a relative, you can call on their behalf. 888-318-7884. Tom's in Oklahoma City. Tom, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to. Tom, can you get just a little closer? Tom, a little closer to the phone. It's just a little bit hard to hear you.
Okay, hang on.
All right. Is the phone far away?
Okay, you hear me better now?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. What did you do? Get it in the backyard? Well, where had you thrown it? You sound good. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a Bluetooth thing.
Bluetooth.
Okay, so I have a 16-year-old daughter. We are cradle Catholics, but she quoted me about 5 verses from the Old and New Testament, where she perceives them as speaking by women in a derogative way, like women cannot speak, have to listen to their husband from Old Testament. When a man defiles a woman, he has to marry her, and implies no divorce. But she takes it like, oh, she's got raped, and now she's entrapped in the relationship. And just she thinks like God could not write such an awful thing. She doesn't believe that, and she thinks the Bible is a man-made writing, and she feels offended by it. And I talked to her about the example of Mary, about other women, things like that. But she is just stuck on this thing. She just feels very, very kind of disappointed, at least to say.
So you're wondering how to engage on this topic with her of the Catholic Church does value women, and it is respectful of women, and on, is that correct?
Yeah, it's just I don't know how to relay the equality if that's all portrayed the role, how would we have to pay and live to. Is the the notion that okay, we all equal, we can all do some things together, like women and men. I mean, not likely that women can be firefighters, but also men cannot be mothers. So just recognizing that all the qualities and differences, but that's a struggle. Just like I don't know what angle I can do to make a convincing case. Now, God is real, Catholic Church is the thing, and the faith is true. I'm just at the loss a little bit with those arguments, what I'm facing.
So I would say, first of all, you were touching on this just most recently, the differences between men and women. And so the church has been very clear that men and women are created distinctly, but are complementary and both equal in dignity. And there's a lot of church writing on that where, I hate to say this, but if you put in Catholic men and women equal dignity, you'll pull up a lot of stuff that will help with that topic. But the other thing to help with is, it sounds kind of like she's zeroing in on certain things, and she's viewing everything through a very macroscopic lens and not necessarily viewing everything through the micro. So I'm sorry, through the macro. So if you want to give her an overarching view that may help her digest this a little bit better. The Bible itself, Old Testament, New Testament, is the story of God walking humanity through time back to him. So before the fall, things were the way you could say God wanted them to be, to put it simply. But then Adam and Eve did what they did, and humanity was separated from God. And in this separation where they fell so far, God never stopped reaching out to them. However, because of our proclivity to sin, we would do things that would offend God, offend how we were made, would go against the very things that we are made for, that moral code that's written on all of our hearts and things like that. But God never stopped. You see it actually frequently throughout the Old Testament. God gets so fed up with his people that I'm just done. You know, I don't even want to see all of you necessarily, or I don't want to talk to you or whatever, but he never gives up and he never goes away. And so if you start to view the things that God does through that lens, you see it through time where God starts implementing more and more rules and revealing more and more of himself and walking humanity more and more toward those Christian ethics that we know now. And you see it in the New Testament where Jesus is asked, you know, like, divorce was allowed before, but it's not anymore. You know, why is that? He's like, well, it wasn't that way in the beginning. And that's one of those signs pointing toward, in the beginning, things were one way. We fell, we separated from that timeline, I guess you could say. And God has continued to walk with us toward that restoration. And so when you see things in the Old Testament that are horrific, it is consequence of sin, and it is that people are not ready yet to hear something better. So we know better, and that's why when we look back and we read things like the rape of Dinah and things like that, we're horrified, because how could that be? And yet still, unfortunately, horrifically, these things happen today. So on some level, we understand. And on another level, we know that it's wrong, and it is in hearing these bad things that we come to know better just how wrong they are and how we ought not to repeat them, and how God is the antithesis of all of these things and the antidote to all of them as well. So the final thing that I can think that would fit in really nicely here is that, well, two things. One, when an artist is creating, more often than not, the final thing that that artist creates is what that artist considers their highest good. And man was made first, then woman. So you could argue that God views women the highest, the peak, the pinnacle of creation. And also, the greatest human being, according to the Catholic Church, the greatest human being to have ever lived who is not God was a woman, his mother. The first woman to know of his, person to know of his resurrection was a woman. There is a lot of things that we can point to, both on that macroscopic scale of understanding what the story of the Bible is, and on the microscopic scale of looking to individual women and how God uplifts them and stories are devoted to their faith and things like that. You can point to just as many beautiful stories of women in the Bible and the goodness of women that is portrayed and told to us by how God treats women, makes women, and how the church views and upholds women. Women actually never got more rights and never got more love until the Christian church came along and established these things. Like, it is because of the Catholic Church that women are held in the esteem that they're in today, and that we don't still live like the women of the Old Testament did.
What do you think, Tom?
I like the word that you used, restoration. That's a good angle. The other word used, the micro level, and when I talk to her, it says, Dad, you always try to tell me that everything is in a context. You just have to see broad things. I was like, yeah, that's how it is. You have to read the whole, you know, the passage, what the context was about. But she's still stuck on this thing. And I like what you said about the artist thing, because that's what I say there too, that women are human being 2.0, smaller, more refined, more intelligent, more clever, more nimble. So yeah, we are primitive animals comparing to women, and they are a lot more sophisticated. So I'm using those arguments, but I don't know if I use this one first. So I'm going to bring it up. So thank you for those keywords.
Tom, two things. I'd be happy to send you a book called Hard Sayings by Trent Horn, where he goes into in great detail the really hard stuff in the scriptures, where people go, I don't know about that, and this includes the passage you referred to at the beginning of your call. And so I say I'll send you the book, because I don't know if it's something you want to give to your daughter, but it's something that will help you to look at the explanation of why that's in the scripture and what God is doing there, and how we how we deal as Catholics with the hard sayings. Because it would be silly to say that the whole Bible is on first reading clearly, you know, something the modern person would be comfortable with. It ain't. So we need help with these things. I can give you that book because we have a donor who will pay for it. But I'm going to recommend a book to you because I like this book and I like this author, Bronwyn McShay. She's a historian, and she wrote a book called Women of the Church, What Every Catholic Should Know. And it does start with women of the Old Testament and goes all the way through the women of the modern era. And it's just a great book. And your daughter might find that it's the history of women in Christianity and in Judaism is not what maybe she is getting on whatever TikTok video is promoting this idea that the Bible is about hatred of women or oppressing women or something like that. So I will give you the book Hard Sayings if you hang on and give us an address. I will recommend to you Bronwyn McShay's very fine book, Women of the Church, What Every Catholic Should Know. That one you might give to your daughter. I have to take a quick break. We're talking about what to do when the faith is faltering, maybe yours or someone else's. Our guest is Desiree Cifuentes. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel. Serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilino with a few words about St. Cyprian. Cyprian was born to a rich family in Carthage, North Africa. As an adult, he converted to Christianity, and soon he was named bishop of his city. He led the church through a time of multiple crises, including persecution. He himself died a martyr.
Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here with us on this probably warm summer evening or afternoon, wherever you are. I'm sure it is here outside. We're very grateful that you would take the time to spend with us. And we're talking about what to do when the faith starts to falter. Desiree Cifuentes, our guest. You should check out her work. You can find it on, well, just put in Uncatechized Catholic in your search bar. You will come across it. You'll come across her work on YouTube, her work on Instagram, and maybe other places that I don't know about. Are there other places that I don't know about? Am I missing something?
I'm on the Forsaken TikTok as well.
Oh, you're on TikTok? And we invited you on this show? What kind of mistake? Who booked? This will not happen again. This is your last appearance here. No, I'm only kidding, though. Please don't take that seriously. We need you to come back. John in Albany, New York. Thank you very much for the call. Welcome. Go ahead with your question for Desiree.
Thank you.
Are you going
to
get... You getting the phone better? Is that what you're doing, John?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
No,
yeah.
That's good. We want the good phone connection. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question was that I'm definitely starting to come to Catholicism, but I feel like I've been making getting lost so much into the intellectual side of Catholicism that I'm not making room for the faith side of things. Like, how would you answer that? Like, how do you get around? Because there's, so much to research, saints and all the church fathers and everything?
Sure. So the thing that I come across, I think, most, and I see it a lot. Can I ask, John, how old are you?
Yeah, I'm 38.
Okay, so then you're not in this group, actually. It's very common among Gen Zs to very much intellectualize their faith, but you're a fellow millennial, so I'm glad that you're in this camp. But when it comes to choosing the faith side of things and embracing it more and what have you, you have to come down to what is maybe the holdup. I'm a person where I'm very much, I'm more logical. I'm not hyper emotional, things like that. And I think that that's something that a lot of men resonate with. But I sometimes feel, for me, that at times being able to embrace the emotional, the out of control, the whatever, I don't desire to do that all the time because of a fear that it'll be wrong or that it will be something that I'm not making sense of. But that's a deficit on my end. So fear can be the antithesis of love in many ways. And doing some self-searching and determining, is there a part of me that's a little bit afraid of, you know, what if I'm made a fool because I'm taking this thing off on faith and not because I can intellectually argue for it. But to have faith in the Lord is to love the Lord. And the Bible is clear that love is the greatest of all things. And if you don't have love, you have nothing. And so there's an intellectualizing, I guess you could say, there's some path there that you can follow that's biblically based. But there's a thing that evangelists say to one another sometimes when we're talking about how to help bring people to the Lord. And the phrase is, what you win them with is what you win them to. And I'm sure you know what that means, but just in case somebody out there doesn't, what I'm saying is when you win somebody to the faith with anything other than love, you're winning them to something other than love. And as I said, since the Bible says love is the greatest of all things, if it's not love, it's not Jesus. So if you're winning somebody over with pomp and circumstance, with traditional trappings, with, let's say the opposite, guitars and drums, with beating you over the head, I call it cage stage Catholicism, where, you know, submit to Rome or die or something. I don't know what they say, but anything like that isn't actually authentically Jesus. And so then when you win them with that, they come to the faith. And then one of two things happens is they recognize eventually that that's not the true faith, hopefully. And then they either say, so that was wrong, and now my interior disposition needs to change and conform to the church, or they become stubborn and they say, well, my interior disposition won't change. Therefore, either the church needs to change or I'm going to go somewhere else. And then you get into some trouble. So I would say soul searching, determining if you're a little bit afraid of being proven silly or, you know, wrong at some points because you take things off of faith out of love of the Lord, and being comfortable with trusting the Lord in that, and that he's not going to make a fool of you as long as you're authentically following him and not just your own ideas or desires or best interpretations of things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm glad. Wow. I do a lot of yeah, I have to make sure.
But John, you sound like a satisfied customer.
I am, definitely. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Five stars from me.
What did I missed it?
I said five stars for me.
She just gave herself a 5-star review. Would you agree with that, John? Can she have a 5-star review from you?
I would agree.
Okay, very good. Hey, I'll tell you what. If you'd like a copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church by Joe Heschmeyer, just hang on. Give us an address. We'll send it off to you. We very much appreciate the call. I'm going to go up to, where am I going? Sacramento, I guess. We'll talk to George in Sacramento, California, watching on YouTube. George, welcome. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Desiree Cifuentes.
Howdy, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Howdy, George.
Good. Thank you, Desiree, for taking my call. I have seen you on Instagram, and I just want to say I'm a very big fan.
Yay, hello.
So, you're doing a very good apostolate, and you're reaching out to a lot of people. And even if you weren't, if it was just one or two, and, you know, you brought them closer to God, that would still be successful. My question was, speaking, you know, if you could speak, if the church could speak, you know, pastorally to those who are sympathetic to SSPX members right now, you know, what would the church say to them? You know, I haven't read any of the documents. I don't know. I imagine that Pope Leo or Pope or Holy Father has spoken to them many times. I believe there was one letter in February, but I really should have done some reading. But what would you tell people who, what is the church's pastoral position towards people who are sympathetic towards SSPX, but specifically, you know, and this is also the case for people who just are very appreciative of tradition. You know, they go to TLM, perhaps one of the other orders who are still in good standing with the church, like the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter, for example, who really just appreciate reverence, and they see so much going on in the church. You know, maybe they're not the biggest fans of Vatican II or modernity, but they just really want reverence in their churches and in our culture, and especially towards our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist. What does the church say to these people who associate themselves with SSPX? You know, what is that message that Holy Mother Church is speaking to her children right now?
Sure. So you brought up, obviously, SSPX, and then also things like tradition, Vatican II, things like that. And so to speak sort of on a macro level to those things, the church actually has a precedent and makes room for respectful dissent. She does say that in a series of circumstances and things like that, you should essentially, that the default position is to respectfully believe whatever the leaders of the church are telling you. Now, you may interiorly not be sure, need to do more research, what have you. But even if it is something where, you know, you've done some research and you just still can't quite sit right with it and you feel like you need to question it, to keep the questioning respectful and to be open to understanding whatever it is that you're struggling with. And so to be specific to the SSPX, I think everybody wants reverent masses. Everybody wants to see Jesus treated with reverence. And without getting too deep in the weeds, I will say, just based off of a few things that you've said, is that what is reverent and traditional can in many ways be cultural. So a reverent mass in the United States may look a little bit different than a reverent mass in Argentina or in Africa or anything like that. So being open to the fact that the church is not just American or anything else, that it is universal. And so there's going to be some flex in the joints, if you will, to keep everybody within. But also to understand that Vatican II isn't wrong or bad. And so to reject Vatican II is probably a fundamental misunderstanding of Vatican II. And you should probably, not you, but, you know, broad, plural you, should probably read Vatican II and be really intimate with it and try and not look for the spots to tear it down, but look for the spots to steelman it and to see, okay, this document's actually pretty good and maybe some people kind of failed. And that's not lovely on an institutional level, but also wherever people are, we will find failure. So being sympathetic to the SSPX cause is understandable. And I don't think that the desire to have reverence and tradition and things like that is bad. But when it comes down to the institutional church and respecting the authority that's been vested in the popes through all of history, it comes down to, do I actually believe what in the authority that Jesus established, or do I not? And do I respect and assent even when I find it difficult, or am I ultimately the arbiter of right and wrong in my heart? And for people who really grapple with it for themselves, or, you know, not willing to put themselves outside of the church, but they really struggle with it, I would say be the change that you want to see. Our parishes are, many of them, suffering for lack of volunteers who are willing to help institute certain things. And if you can bring that tradition and that reverence to your parish, then you should do that, and you'll be a lot happier.
Desiree, thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of our callers. I'm sorry there were so many people who want to talk to you. We didn't get to them all. George in Sacramento, thank you for the call and for the question. Check out Desiree's work, Uncatechized Catholic. Are you a little bit uncatechized? Well, she can help you fix that. Desiree, I hope we'll do this many, many more times. Thank you.
You too, Zach.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.